Welcome to another episode of the Flagrant 2 Podcast. I'm Reed Forgrave. There's no Bill Ryder here today. There is producer Joey Levin, wearing the beanie, looking extra hipster. I'm all dressed up because I had to do TV this morning. I know you guys can't see this because it's a podcast and not a television show. Good morning, Joey. How the hell are you, brother?
I'm, for the first time since I moved to New York, I'm freezing. And it's been cold, but not like this. It's getting crazy. It's getting to that point where I know you don't want to hear it because you live in a cold city, but
you live in the frozen tundra.
It's getting to that point where it, like, you walk outside and it hurts.
You know? It hurts. I'll show you hurts, man. I was at that Vikings game 2 years ago when Blair Walsh shanked the 23-yard field goal or whatever, and it was like negative 1,000 degrees. That actually hurt. That was like frostbite. I was in New York like 3 days ago, and it was 50 degrees, and I was walking all over the place.
I was out last night, and it was like it was like in the 30s, like high 30s. Went into a bar, had a few drinks, walked out around midnight, and it was just snowing. Like, no, but it wasn't supposed to snow yesterday.
Poor New Yorker. So, poor New Yorker, Joey. I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
Joey, do you think that people should subscribe to our podcast?
Sure.
Do you think they should rate it and review it and download it?
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps on a place like iTunes or SoundCloud or even Stitcher. We'd really appreciate it if you guys do that. Give us some good love. Those things matter. They matter to the ratings. They matter to this podcast. Thank you for listening, as always. And always remember, Lance Stephenson is not just going to be an all-star this year, because we are going to will him into the all-star game with hashtag Operation Born Ready All-Stars. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's the LeVar Ball mantra. Speak it into existence, Joey. What we're going to speak into existence this morning, we're going to talk about – this is going to be a rookie focused podcast. I think this is a – it's not an elite rookie class, but it's a really deep rookie class. It's a really interesting rookie class. We're going to go through the Reed's Rookie Five, which is, as you guys well know, our current ratings of how these rookies stand this year. We got some interesting newcomers to this list, and we got some guys who have fallen out of the list, namely the guy who is the honorable mention, who's no longer a top five rookie in our humble opinion. And that is that dude from the Lakers. What's his name? He never gets any attention anymore. The point guard.
Is it the guy whose brothers are playing professionally in Lithuania? Is it that guy?
That's the guy! Gosh, forget about him. He never gets any exposure. I do kind of feel bad for Lonzo Ball because he's such a confident yet humble young man. He doesn't have the blather of his father, but he obviously has been affected by it. And he's just getting killed this year, mostly because he's shooting below 50% from the free throw line. He's shooting around 25% from three. That's not good in today's NBA. But look, like, Lonzo Ball never came in as a creator. He came in as a facilitator. And I think it is worth remembering, as much as we're crapping on Lonzo Ball. See how I said crapping?
Yeah.
Because, like, when Bill's not here, you don't have to use the bleep button 20 times per podcast. As much as everybody's crapping on Lonzo Ball, he's still second among rookies in assists. He's first in assist to turnover ratio. When he plays aggressively, you can see why I made a perhaps really dumb bet with a friend that in the next 5 years he's going to be an all-star, or I have to treat this friend to a trip to a Midwestern NBA city of his choice, along with two very good seats. Lonzo Ball not making this all-star game is going to cost me something like $800, $900. I'm not thrilled about it. So that's why I am invested in his career. Joey, the shooting is clearly a problem, and I don't know how to fix it. Maybe you need to simply break it down and start over from the beginning. Maybe he needs to shoot with opposite hand. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's always funny when they do. Maybe he needs to do what – who's that guy from Louisville a couple years ago who was shooting free throws underhanded? Maybe he needs to shoot free throws underhanded so he can get to like 60% respectability level. But it has not been pretty. However, maybe because LeVar has spoken it into existence. But Joey, I think ultimately I am still a believer in Lonzo Ball.
I'm absolutely still a believer. And I don't think you can break down. I mean, his shot's so weird. I don't think you break it down. I think it's reps. I think it's he's just got to be in the gym constantly, working. And I don't know. I don't know him as a off the court as a worker. I would imagine he is. But like, I watched their game the other night. I watched the game that they lost to the Knicks in overtime. He was 3 for 6 from three. If he can get to a point, I don't think he's ever going to get to a point where he's going to be a consistent pull up jump shooter off the dribble from deep.
Sure.
But if he can even get to a point where, like Jason Kidd, who he's drawn comparisons to, where he just becomes a respectable spot up 3-point shooter, I actually think I love your bet in the next 5 years. I don't see any reason this kid can't be an all-star. Look at his numbers. He is a consistent jumper away from being what Ben Simmons is this year.
Yeah,
his numbers.
No, it's a great point.
His numbers aren't far off.
It was like a week or two ago. Brandon Ingram hit that game winner with a couple seconds left, and we remember that it was Brandon Ingram that made the game winner. But who was it that whipped a beautiful pass to him from under the basket? It was Lonzo Ball. Yep. So I'm with you. I really want. I'm not a very good gambler, Joey. Yeah. I'm actually a terrible gambler. But I did add sort of an addendum to the bet that if the Lakers win a title with Lonzo Ball in the next 3 years, that I also win this bet. So come on, LeBron and Paul George, carry my bet to fruition.
By the way, since I mentioned Ben Simmons, I'll make this point real quick. And this is actually Bill's radio producer, Adam Klug, made this point to us the other night. And it was a great point. Ben Simmons the other night, who we'll talk about, obviously, in this episode, I think, right?
I don't know. Do you think he's going to be on the rookie five?
Yeah, he might be in there. I don't know. Is he a rookie?
You hate him, so maybe.
Oh, yeah. I'll get into that a little bit. but their Phillies win over the T-Wolves the other night.
Yeah.
With 1 minute left in the game, Ben Simmons had 0 points, and he ended the game with seven turnovers. Imagine if that was Lonzo.
Imagine if Ben Simmons' dad was LeVar.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine if it was like no one talked about it. No one cares.
No.
But if
we talked about them winning in overtime. We talked about Embiid being a stud.
But if Lonzo did that.
Absolutely right.
If that was a Lonzo game, holy crap. I mean, people would be destroying him still, probably today.
Yep. Yep. You are 100% right. I mean, look, this is the greatness and the bad part of the Ball family is we talk about them for better and for worse. And right now it kind of seems for worse because it doesn't seem like who knows what's going on in his head. It doesn't seem like he's handling the pressure of all the media spotlight playing for the Lakers in his hometown. It doesn't seem like he's handling it particularly well. But you know what? He's not a bust. I can say that much for sure.
They're not bad. They're not bad. I watched them. They're not terrible. I mean, look, they're 2.5 games out of eight right now. The West is awful. That's part of it. But they're better than they were last year.
Yeah, think about that last sentence you said. The West is awful. What in the actual hell?
I mean, after you get past like those top three or four teams. Yeah. The NBA is awful.
Aren't the Wolves in fourth in the West?
So,
or they moved down to fifth?
Let me see. I had it pulled up. Yeah, I think they still are. Yeah.
The Wolves, man, I'm actually heading to their shoot around in a little bit. And there was a really interesting Deadspin piece, which we may try to talk about in tomorrow's podcast when Mr. Bill Ryder is back. But just a fascinating piece on Thibodeau, as we all know, continuing to run his players into the ground, play such a short rotation. It's weird how that team can be fourth in the West and yet still strangely disappointing. But here we are. You ready to go through these rookie five? Do you want to go 5-1 or 1-5? What do you think's the smarter call here?
I was actually thinking about that before the podcast, and I think the natural thing to do would be 5-1. I feel like everybody already knows who one is.
But it also like kind of takes the suspense out of it because let's actually go 1-5 actually.
Yeah.
Let's do the anti David Letterman because
although I do, I actually think the conversation about 1 and 2 is interesting.
Yes.
So maybe we do 5-1. Because I think that conversation has become very interesting now.
It has gotten interesting between Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball, who is the number one rookie maybe Zach Collins.
Yep.
Fine. We'll start at number five. Dennis Smith Jr. From the Mavericks. Yes, he is injured, out indefinitely right now. It doesn't seem like this is a major injury for Dennis Smith. He's been up and down. He was awesome in Summer League. He's had his moments where he has looked like a future all-star, the type of guy who would win a bet for me. He has 14.4 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, a player efficiency rating of 11.6, which is in about the top 10 for rookies. Dennis Smith is an exciting player. Every time I hear that he's injured, I cringe just because of that injury history with him. And since he is such an explosive type of player, you really don't want to hear about knee injuries or ankle injuries or the type of injuries that can really affect his explosiveness. But I tell you what, like if we're doing a rookie excitement rankings, I think Dennis Smith Jr. is number one. He is – you know, a franchise player in personality and in excitement, if not quite yet in, you know, value as an NBA player. But Dennis Smith Jr., that's looking like a really great pick by the Mavs. Yes, the Knicks passed on him and took Frank Ntilikina, but I think Ntilikina looks actually pretty solid, especially on defense. Dennis Smith, though, is the type of guy who's going to get a – he's going to get a shoe named after him, right? Like, he's going to get a signature shoe.
I mean, yeah, I think for me, the allure around him is because of the inconsistency has sort of worn off a little bit. But he's
yep.
– yeah, I mean, he's shown the flashes to be in the top five. I think that's why he's still five. Also, interestingly enough, he has a – among these rookies, I don't know, among all rookies, he has a pretty one of the highest usage rates. So they're giving him the ball, they're giving him the opportunities. It's a bad team, so they're looking for who's next. And I mean, he could make a pretty interesting duo with Harrison Barnes, who's
yep, absolutely, a good player, especially yeah. if it becomes a trio with say Michael Porter Jr. or Marvin Bagley. Every I time know. I see the Mavs win, like they did the other night against the Spurs, I'm like, what are you guys doing?
I mean, I don't know if you're worried about injuries, I don't know if you want to go and add Michael Porter Jr. to that mix.
Shut up, man. this Mizzou grad does not appreciate any negative Michael Porter talk. We're much like LeVar Ball. We're going to speak it into existence that Michael Porter will be back in early March for the Missouri Tigers and lead us to the Final Four.
Oh, there it is.
I'm not going to make a bet on that, though. Number four in our rookie rankings, in honor of Bill Ryder. Holy Kyle Kuzma, Los Angeles Lakers. He has been awesome. 27th pick in the draft, and yet here he is. He's averaging more than 16 points a game, 2 assists, 6.6 rebounds, a player efficiency rating of 15.59, which is in the top five for rookies. He's been a revelation. It is fascinating how the Lakers have had, yes, like I guess they missed on D'Angelo Russell at number two, if we want to call it that. That was such a weird situation, the personality fit. I still think D'Angelo Russell's a really good basketball player and will be a guy who's around the NBA for 10 or 15 years, but it is amazing how the Lakers have gotten these finds like Jordan Clarkson, like Kyle Kuzma late in the draft when lots of teams have passed them over. Kuzma looked like the defense isn't great, but a guy that can make threes at that rate and can rebound, like there's he's not an all-star, he's not a star, but he's a guy who can be a role player on a good team for years to come.
Yeah, he was the guy who stuck out to me the other night watching them play. That he just looks like he fits. I mean, so quickly, he looks like he's figured out the NBA game. He's smooth, man. He's a good offensive player. He's already averaging 16 a game in his rookie year, which is, I mean, it's different now. Players are scoring at a higher rate than ever before, it seems like. But,
yeah,
I mean, if he's already averaging 16 a game, who knows? Where, I mean, as a stretch four type of guy in this league, what he's going to be a really interesting player for a long time.
Oh, well, and the way that I feel about Kyle Kuzma, just when you watch him, when you tune into a game, it's the same way I feel about the guy who's number three in our Reed's Rookie Five, and that's Jason Tatum for the Celtics. And it's that you look at this guy, and he doesn't look like a rookie. He looks like from the moment he stepped on the court in his very first game, he looked like he belonged. And you don't see that with rookies. You don't see that with Dennis Smith. Dennis Smith looks like he's an all-star 1 minute and then looks like he'd get kicked out of the D-League the next minute because he's just making stupid turnovers. Kyle Kuzma, he looks like a five-year veteran. Jason Tatum, I remember that from that very first game when Gordon Hayward tore his ankle in half. Thank God seeing him out of the walking boot, by the way. That's awesome. But I remember from that very first game, I was texting with Ryder, and he's like, how does Tatum look? Because Ryder, I think Ryder was on his radio show, and I was like, he looks like he belongs. He looks like an NBA player. He looks like a dude who understands basketball at a very high level. Tatum's averaging 13.8 points, 1.3 assists, 5.6 rebounds. He's shooting 50.5% from three. Joey, that leads the NBA. That is crazy. Number one in the NBA among the players with an adequate number of shots, which is, by the way, like, there were two criticisms from draft Knicks about Tatum coming into the NBA, coming into the draft. I mean, I guess one of them, they'd say that he wasn't an elite athlete. And I don't think anyone does think that he's an elite athlete, but I think that people have always thought he's a very has great offensive fundamentals and is a very smart offensive player and is a guy who works on the details. But the two criticisms on him were, is he going to be good at defense, and can he extend his range to NBA 3? Well, yes and yes. The Celtics are the best defensive team in the NBA. I'm not saying Tatum is the skeleton key for that. I don't think he unlocks their defense. He's not a Draymond Green, but he plays right into team defensive concepts. Like, he gets it. He has high level basketball IQ. And then the fact that he's shooting 50% from three, that he has a player efficiency rating 17.43. That is second among rookies. What's amazing to me, at age 19, he comes into the league and he is a big time contributor for a team that has second best record in the NBA for the Celtics, or I believe that's where they're at.
And that
part of that's from circumstances. When Gordon Hayward got hurt, a lot of pressure fell onto his shoulders and Jaylen Brown's shoulders, but look, he didn't wither in the face of that pressure. He stepped up to it, and kudos to him. That is not easy to do. I don't care how talented you are as a rookie. Even LeBron James talked about the flutters coming in as a rookie, and he's LeBron James. Jason Tatum is not LeBron James, but he is a guy who belongs in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the three-point shooting is the thing that sort of blows me away. He's one of the more surprising guys to me. I watched a ton of tape leading up to our draft show, and him in particular. And I was one of the ones who, he struck me as a guy who I wasn't sure if he was athletic enough to be an elite player at this level. I knew he had the skill, but I thought he was going to be a lost player. Like, is he a three? Is he a stretch four? What is his niche at this level? And it turns out, watching him, that his niche might just be wherever you need him.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy, he can play, if he's shooting the ball, if he's leading the NBA in three-point shooting, he can handle it, he's skilled, he can play the three. He's big enough, he defends well enough, he can play the four. I mean,
you can say those exact same things about Jaylen Brown, by the way, which is incredible. And about Gordon Hayward, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's been – I mean, if it wasn't for the next two guys on the list, I think in a lot of years, Jason Tatum would be an absolute favorite for Rookie of the Year. And he may 100%. Ultimately –
would have won it last year, hands down.
Yeah, and we're only a quarter of the way through the season, so who knows? Like, the next two guys – I don't think number one's numbers are going to drop off, but you don't never know on number two.
I like how you talk about this.
But Jason Tatum, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of leading the league in 3-point percentages in this league
for a rookie
in this league, it's an invaluable stat.
Joe, you weren't high on Tatum coming into the draft. Do you know how I felt about Jason Tatum?
Rookie.
I had him as number one in my mock draft, dude.
I know. I remember. And it wasn't necessarily that I thought that was wrong. I'm thinking in draft terms at that spot.
Yeah,
top,
it makes sense.
Top one, two, three, four. Like, it's got to be a franchise guy. You got to be looking franchise. And I just didn't know if he had the athleticism to be a franchise player. Maybe.
Yeah, you look down the list of the top, the lottery picks, and more franchisee types would be, I guess, Josh Jackson, people would have thought. De'Aaron Fox having that like sky high ceiling. Dennis Smith Jr., another guy. So yeah,
Fultz.
I'm with you. I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, I meant guys after they were selected.
After Tatum.
As much as I want to say I'm a draft expert because I had Tatum going number one, the guy who is number two and is just shooting up our rookie rankings. I was uncertain about. I really liked Donovan Mitchell's game at Louisville. Two-way player, super explosive, fun to watch, a Rick Pitino defensive juggernaut type of player. I didn't know how that was going to convert to the NBA. I thought a little bit about him the same way that I thought about Dennis Smith Jr. Wasn't sure about the consistency, but man, has he, the past few weeks especially, he has been absolutely unreal. And how cool for Jazz fans, after getting their hearts broken when Gordon Hayward left, to get a guy with the, oh gosh, what pick number was he? Was he 14? 14, I think. I know I'm just doing this off the top of my head. 13, 14, something like that. I'm going to call it up as we're talking. He was number, 13. To be able to get him is just huge for the franchise. Donovan Mitchell is a franchise guy, and to get a franchise guy at 13 is absolutely huge. He's leading rookies in scoring now, just past Ben Simmons as of last night. Oops, I just gave away our number one. 17.8 points, 3.3 assists, 3 rebounds. He's made more threes than any rookie. They're giving him the keys to the, I was going to say Lamborghini, but if it's Utah, like maybe it's like a Subaru, like some sort of like four-wheel drive type thing. They're giving him the keys to the Subaru, and he's taking them, and he's going. This Utah team is really, really interesting. His player efficiency rating, by the way, 16.14. It's behind Jason Tatum, but it's still really, really impressive. Third among rookies. Donovan Mitchell has been a stud. This Jazz team seems that with this draft pick and some really smart signings, that they lost a step without Gordon Hayward, but they didn't lose anywhere near as big of a step as we expected, Joey.
When we ultimately do the redraft, right? Like when, you know, everybody always does like the looking back, the redraft, right? Like where would this guy go? Would Philly take Donovan Mitchell number one?
Huh.
Like imagine Donovan Mitchell with Ben Simmons and Embiid right now.
Oh boy, that is interesting, Joey.
Like even over really and as good as Tatum
or Dennis Smith, but yeah.
No, but I'm saying they don't need a point guard. They have Ben Simmons, right? I mean,
no, that's really,
they need a wing scorer who can get you, like Fultz hopefully can be that guy, and I think he can be. But like you don't need a guy, right? Cuz Ben Simmons is not that guy. Right, like a wing scorer who's going to get you a bucket. They need a guy who can go get him a bucket at the end of the game. And Mitchell's looking like that kind of guy.
You know what I want to do? I'm going to save this for the next segment, and I'm going to surprise you with something here. I'd like to do a little bit of a redraft. Like, where do you think Fultz would go? Where do you think Josh Jackson would go? If tomorrow they said, okay, all these players go back into the pool, you have to redraft them, just knowing what you know from the past, 6 months since draft day. Let's do that in the next segment. Number one for the rookies, Ben Simmons. It's a little unfair.
Not my number one.
He's not your number one. He's not the real MVP, says Joey. Ben Simmons has been amazing. It's a little unfair because he did get a year to sit out and learn the NBA and get drilled by Brett Brown, who seems like an awesome player development coach, by the way. 17.5 points, 7.7 assists, 8.9 rebounds. He's averaging pretty damn close to a triple-double. 2 steals a game. He's among the NBA leaders in steals. Player efficiency rating tops among rookies by a fairly wide margin, 18.54. He's number one among rookies in assists, rebounds, steals, double-doubles, triple-doubles. He's eighth in the NBA in double-doubles. Joey, this player who you hate, you despise him, you know, all the way down to his soul. You don't like his parents. You don't like his ancestors. You don't like the way he talks. You don't
ancestors.
Like anything about him.
Whoa.
He's gonna be a unanimous rookie of the year. What say you, Joey? He's gonna be the unanimous NBA rookie.
Hold on.
Okay. You think his ancestors are cool? I think that.
Let's reel back on the ancestor talk.
Okay. Ancestry ripping.
And I also think, that it's not set in stone that he's unanimous rookie. I mean,
whoa, Joey,
Donovan Mitchell, if he continues to play the way he's playing, it's going to be tough to not give it to him. Like if this guy ends up averaging, I mean, right now he's averaging about 18 a game, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
If the Jazz, who lost Gordon Hayward, who were Gobert's been going through injury issues. They replaced Donovan Mitchell. They replaced Rodney Hood in the starting lineup with Donovan Mitchell. I don't think anybody expected anything out of the Jazz this year. If the Jazz make the playoffs in the West and Donovan Mitchell leads rookies in scoring, he's got to – I mean, it won't be unanimous. Maybe Ben Simmons will still get it because he's almost averaging a triple-double. And Philly is looking like they'll be a playoff team. But unanimous, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unanimous because I'm voting for Donovan Mitchell.
There you go. There you go. Joey's screwing everything up. Since November 30th, Donovan Mitchell, I'm just calling up his stats right now. He's playing 35 minutes a game. He's shooting 41% from three, 90% from the free throw line, which, by the way, that's impressive. Getting four assists a game, almost two steals a game, and he's averaging 26.7 points per game. Yep. That's over one, two, three, four, five, six, seven games. Okay, if he averages 26.7 points a game for the rest of the season, I will give you that. I don't think he's gonna, but he's a stud, man. Like, he is an absolute stud. The Rookie of the Year race is certainly – I still think it is – if things go the way that I expect them to, I think it's pretty much all decided, but – Donovan Mitchell has at least made a conversation about it, which is good. We like that in the NBA.
I had two issues with Ben Simmons coming into the league, and there's still issues until Philly makes the playoffs. One is that he can't shoot, and that's never going to change. That's just not going to change.
What if he switches hands? That's been posited by a few NBA writers.
The Tristan Thompson.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he becomes a 42% three-point shooter.
If that happens, then he's LeBron. But
yeah, he is LeBron.
The other thing is, and look, college. We know that college. You know, you cover the draft in college basketball for so long. College doesn't necessarily translate. What you do in college doesn't necessarily wins and losses don't necessarily translate to the NBA.
Yep.
But he won nine games. That was Markel Fultz.
Not many. Like, maybe look, 16. For a generation,
look,
last,
you're a, if you're a gen- look, a generational player, I don't care where you play, win games. And Philly is not a lock to make the playoffs in the East. And he was supposed to be him coming in. He's supposed to be the guy who brings. If they don't make the playoffs, then to me, he's still the guy that I always thought he was, which is a guy who's going to get great stats. He's Russell Westbrook. Great stats, but not a winner.
Can you quote Dennis Green right now really quick? He is who we thought he was.
I will. Just. That drop will be ready for every time Philly loses a game.
There you go. All right. I will be looking forward to that. Guy, listeners, I think that what I need to do is buy Joey a single ticket. I don't want him distracted by some good-looking New Yorker girl that he's going to bring along to this game. But I want Joey to go to Philadelphia to study Ben Simmons up close and to see the transcendent player that he is. And the way that I'm going to do that is going to be through SeatGeek. You guys, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy. I'm going to use it to help Joey, to correct Joey's Ben Simmons thinking with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, hello, I am needing a perfect gift because we're 2 weeks out of Christmas and I haven't gotten anybody anything. But look, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person or your least favorite basketball player in person, Joey. And SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. We have the SeatGeek app on our phones, and it is by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. We can be anywhere, like perhaps sitting right here doing a podcast with Joey. And with a few quick taps, I can look up the Sixers schedule and instantly find seats where Joey can get the best view of Ben Simmons' transcendent basketball mastery. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy tickets to, and I hope my five-year-old son is not listening, but the Harlem Globetrotters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, when we're back for Christmas, the day after Christmas. It is, I said I didn't buy my son any birthday presents yet. I actually have bought this one. The Harlem Globetrotters game for my five-year-old son and his four-year-old cousin. It is going to be awesome. I will report back how all these players for the Harlem Globetrotters paled in comparison to Ben Simmons. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever, saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And right now, to get you the best bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget and fit your goal of watching Ben Simmons up close to change your dumb opinions about him. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence, the type of confidence that Ben Simmons has when he's dunking on Joey near the hoop. Keep going with this. Make SeatGeek your go-to app, just like Ben Simmons is my go-to fantasy basketball player, for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code FLAGRANT today. That's promo code FLAGRANT for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Joey, I know you don't celebrate Christmas, but can I get you a Christmas present of one Ben Simmons ticket? I'm not even going to call it a Sixers ticket. I just want you, like,
just a Ben Simmons fully, ticket. Just a ticket.
Just to, a Ben Simmons ticket. To look at him in a gym.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what you want to get me. My mom got me – actually, my mom used SeatGeek to get me a gift, a Hanukkah gift, even though I don't really celebrate that either. We won't get into that.
Let's talk.
No,
let's
we talk they were in town this past weekend, and she actually did use SeatGeek, and we went and saw Lion King, and it was incredible.
Dude, how was Lion King?
It was unbelievable. It was so good. And I was talking to Bill about it because he's been trying to decide if he thinks it's good for his kids. There was a ton of little kids in there. I mean, it was little kids, adults. It was everybody, and it was really fun.
Surprises me there'd be a lot of kids at a Lion King show. Huh.
Well, but when you watch it, when they advertise it, it looks like a more. I mean, it's a Broadway show, so it looks like it's more like an adult. You know, like they try to gear it towards it, but no, it's everybody. It was really fun. It was good.
I love it, man. I don't know. I had 36 hours in New York earlier this week for a CBS thing, and I did not go to a Broadway show, but I really want to get back. Perhaps, you know, in between the Final Four and the NBA playoffs, I'm looking to take my wife on a trip, get away from my lovely and awesome kids for a little bit, and maybe New York will be the call. Maybe I can go to SeatGeek and take them to Lion King. Joey, let's. Here's the question that I want to posit to you. And this is kind of in the vein of a redraft from this most recent draft. Who do you think in 5 years will be the best player from the 2017 draft? In other words, no Ben Simmons. To me, it's a four-player race for who will be that all-star type player. I want to put Jason Tatum in there, even though I understand what you were saying earlier. I don't think his ceiling is as high as the rest of these guys, but he can be one of those just solid, you know, third option type guys, reliable and occasionally exciting and take over a game type players for a championship level team. So I'm going to put Tatum in there for that reason. The other three guys that I'm putting in there, Lonzo Ball, because I want to win my bet. So speak it into existence. Donovan Mitchell, the guy that you think Philly should have taken at number one, which, boy, wouldn't that have been interesting if they just said, we're going to do it. I just said a swear word. You got to write that down. And De'Aaron Fox. He's kind of, I guess my surprise in there. He's been good this year. He's been a rookie. He's looked like a rookie. He plays for a bad team, a team that I think could have a really good draft pick next year in a draft where if you have a top five or maybe even six pick, you could get that franchise-type player. Is there anyone else that you would add to that list? Tatum, Lonzo Ball, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox. Who's going to be the best player 5 years from now?
Yeah, I think that has a chance to be the best player 5 years from now. I have to include Markkanen and Kuzma.
Okay, I thought you said Markel.
No. Well, I mean, look, we don't know.
Who knows, right?
You can't include him until he plays, and I don't know, hopefully that works because they need it. I really think they need him to work out. But I think both Markkanen and Kuzma are perfect players for the current NBA, and they've both shown flashes of being really, really – particularly Markkanen. He looks good. He looks like
Do you remember how much that pick got panned by – by people the night of the draft and the day after? They're like, what are they thinking? He sucks. And he looked bad in summer league. He really did. But it is always interesting to me in NBA draft circles. It's a lot of it is groupthink, and a lot of that groupthink is right. Like when people said, "Hey, Karl Towns is the best player in the 2015 draft," and everyone said, "Yes, I agree, and I agree, and I agree." It was 15 or 14? 15. Yeah. That was correct. But groupthink around Markkanen going into the draft said the Bulls made an absolutely idiotic move in picking him. And I guess part of that was wrapped up in like the Jimmy Butler trade and all the weirdness was happening around the Bulls. But you're right. He looks great. He's a 7-footer who can rebound and shoot the three.
Like, yeah, and his field goal percentage isn't great this year. But the key is, to me, he's shooting 84% from the free throw line.
Yeah, good call.
Shooting 34% from three. Like, he's a 7-footer who's shooting 84% from the free throw line. I mean, eventually the field goal percentage is going to raise. The potential 50-40-90 guy at some point in his career, if he's shooting that well from the free throw line right now, I think everything else, once he learns how to score more efficiently, and they're a terrible team. Or actually they're playing better, but they're an awful team. So he's playing well right now and shooting the ball pretty efficiently this early in his career. I think he has a chance to surprise and be one of the better players out of this draft class.
Part of what he has is with the Bulls is an opportunity. And not every player in this draft has had an opportunity. Like, he's played 767 minutes so far. That's fourth among rookies. Only Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, and Donovan Mitchell have played. Oh, and no, Kuzma has not played more. And Donovan Mitchell have played more minutes than he has. So he's had an opportunity to be great. Whereas someone like Zach Collins, right? He's hardly played.
Yeah, Zach's an interesting one too.
We just don't know, right? Like,
I mean, we had
as much about Zach Collins as we do about Markelle Fultz as an NBA player,
right? But we had Neil O'Shea on the podcast. Bill interviewed Neil O'Shea, and one of the questions he asked him was, "Who's a guy on this roster that you're really excited about that you think down the line can be great?" And Zach was the guy. He's really. I mean, obviously he drafted him, so he's got to be high on him, but. I mean, there's a lot of young guys on that roster, but Zach was right away. He was just like, this kid has a chance to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw a little bit of that at Gonzaga in the 19 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game that he played there. But what Markkanen has is an opportunity. What Donovan Mitchell has is an opportunity. What Jason Tatum has, the moment that Gordon Hayward got hurt, is a really big opportunity. And, you know, sometimes I think that can kind of inflate how we feel about a rookie. Like, Michael Carter-Williams had a great opportunity his rookie year for the Sixers, and he won Rookie of the Year. And he's not
Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, Tyreek Evans. He's been good this year, by the way.
Good. They're another guy getting an opportunity on a terrible team.
There you go. It's a good point. What? So Joey, I say it's between. I can see how you'd put Kuzma and Markkanen in that discussion. This is based on a lot of speculation, a lot of how I felt about this guy going into college, and not as much about what I've seen from him in the NBA. But I think I'm going to pick 5 years from now that De'Aaron Fox is going to be the best player out of this group. I'm probably dumb for not saying Donovan Mitchell here. But I'm
drinking the Kool-Aid and going with Mitchell. But Fox, yeah, I mean, he absolutely has a shot. I mean,
the only thing that he needs, Joey, is a shot.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's shooting better than Lonzo.
That is damning him with very faint praise. Yeah. Who is your biggest bust so far? And you can't say Fultz, because Fultz, we can't call him a bust. It's such a weird situation, right?
Like, right.
I'm still really excited to see what he can do, and I still think he fits in with the Sixers really well, but it's just such a weird situation. I'm gonna take him out of the discussion. Who's the biggest bust from the 2017 draft? I have one that I think it is right now, kind of a for sure, but I'm curious if you're going to say the same one. So I'm gonna let you talk first, and then I'm gonna jump in with mine.
I mean, I think expectation wise, Josh Jackson's been bad.
Yeah.
But I actually think there's been a lot of guys who've been better earlier on in this draft class than we expected. So I think maybe it's overplaying how bad he's been, because I wasn't expecting him to come in and average 20 a game.
Right.
I was expecting him to be a little bit better, but I did think he's a guy I actually should be in that conversation to what he can be 5 years from now, because he actually still has the potential to be a great player. But yeah, he's definitely there. I think, I don't know if I was expecting Malik Monk to be a great player, but he showed flashes early on.
Yeah, and really tailed off.
And he's now, I mean, he's shooting 33% from the field.
You know what he needs to pump him up is one more appearance on the Flagrant 2.
Yeah,
podcast.
He needs the Flagrant 2 bump. Yeah.
He scored like 19 points in that next game or something.
He had his career high. Yeah.
Clearly, yeah. We got him on.
You know what? You know what it is? You know what it is? He's probably having too much fun now. Because remember,
he's like, everyone made fun of him because he told us he was bored. The NBA was boring. And now he's like, man.
He's in Charlotte. He's at the epicenter. He's at Bubble. He's getting tables now. Yeah, that's me. I'm dropping club names from my days in Charlotte.
From Charlotte? Wow. Yeah. Wow. You are young and hip.
Yeah.
The only names I drop are like Chuck E. Cheese, which they serve beer, so it's not all that bad. my guy's Josh Jackson. Like, I see what you're saying. 5 years from now, he could be great. But I certainly have not seen it yet. This is a guy who was picked fourth overall, but a lot of people thought he should have been the number one pick or could have been the number one pick, thought that he was the biggest talent in this draft. He's playing 22 minutes a game for a bad basketball team. You know, part of it can be just you're in a bad culture,
yep.
And
yep,
he's not in a winning culture right now, and he's not winning. But what else he's doing, he's not shooting. We knew that he wasn't a very good shooter. We're all talking about Lonzo Ball shooting. Guess who's shooting worse than Lonzo Ball from three? His name's Josh Jackson, shooting 55% from the free throw line, which doesn't portend to him being an even a passable shooter down the road. The thing that jumps out to me most, he's averaging 3.5 rebounds a game, 9.2 points, 1.1 assists. He's just not been good. He, to me, has always struck me as an incredible athlete with an incredible motor who isn't quite a basketball player yet. I agree with you that I think what you're saying is like his ceiling is still high.
Yep.
And that's, yeah, absolutely.
You followed him a lot. Like, you covered him a lot in college. Like, what's his attitude? Like, didn't he get in a little bit of trouble in college? Yeah.
See, this was the weird part to me, and I wrote about this in the lead up to the draft last year. If something like this had happened to Lonzo Ball, or frankly, if it had happened to a University of Kentucky player,
right,
or a Duke player,
yep,
everyone would have been talking about it. There was an incident in, I think it was December, and I'm going to mess up the details on this, but as I recall, he got in an altercation in downtown Lawrence at like 1 a.m. where he vandalized a female basketball player's car. The culture in college basketball is that University of Kansas, specifically Bill Self, is a program and a guy that are beloved. But there have been issues in that program. And look, it was reported. It was out there. The Kansas City Star did a great job reporting about this. The female basketball player, as I recall, spoke about pressure from administration, basically to not file charges. But this was like – this wasn't just like a kid doing something dumb. This was like malicious intent against a fellow basketball player that you assume that the men's team and the women's team, they tend to know each other. It was always a huge red flag to me. Did I just say huge like Donald Trump? Oh, I apologize if I did. It was always a very large red flag to me. And it was something that people just glossed over. Can you imagine if Lonzo Ball, with his dad LeVar and the headlines of playing in Los Angeles, if he had done something like that? Can you imagine if one of John Calipari's players, a guy that people love to hate, had done something like that?
Yeah.
Everyone would have been talking about it. And I love Bill Self. And I say this as a University of Missouri grad. Bill Self is a charming man. He's a smart man. He's a great coach. He's someone who I love to be around. I love him as a quote, and I love just hanging out with the guy. He's fun and cool and awesome. But I do think that because of that, because everyone in the media loves Bill Self for all those reasons I just described, and frankly, he has a great program and a great staff, and they're likable people. But I think that's one reason why Josh Jackson got a pass for this. And look, right, do I relate that to his 23%? Three-point shooting, no. But it was something that jumped out to me as, I'm not sure if I would, I think I would really look deep into his character before I spent such a high draft pick on this dude.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think,
anyway,
and
I've heard that, other things about him that I'm not going to go into.
Right. I mean, that, also, so I bring it up. That's why I bring it up, because the NBA is as much about your situation as it is about your talent for young guys. And as talented as he is, if he has attitude issues or anything like that, and he goes to a place like Phoenix that is a mess and has been a mess for such a long time, he's going to struggle. And his development's going to struggle. And so, yeah, he's absolutely been the most disappointing. But the reason I say I'm going to temper the disappointment with him is that hopefully he either they change leadership or something happens.
Trade him?
I don't think they'll move him, but they probably need to move some pieces and figure out how they build that team. But I think it starts with who's running, what's really, like, what's going on?
That organization seems like
it's just such a mess.
The Knicks of the past 5 years, where everything is just drama and mishandled and poorly done. Yep. I mean, look, the one thing going for him, man, he's in the desert. He's warm. You and me are not warm. But he is in a situation that is an absolute mess. And it's a great point. You need a great situation there. You know what's not a mess, Joey? My underwear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. That's good to hear. That is
seamless transition because Joey, I'm wearing something called MeUndies. Every year, millions of people receive the least liked gift of all time in their stocking from their parents, from their grandma, as underwear. We still give it to our family and give it to our loved ones, and they just don't want it. But maybe it's not that underwear that is the problem. It's the kind of underwear, Joey. Let me tell you about MeUndies, which are cradling my lovely nether regions right now. It's the only underwear that I would be excited for if I got it in my stocking. Wife, I know you don't know basketball or even like basketball or care about basketball, but I hope you're listening to this. MeUndies are the best. I know it sounds silly, but like underwear can change your life, bro. This underwear has changed my life. It's like wearing like a silk girdle. Man, I'm sorry, MeUndies. I'm not properly describing how great you are. But it's true. You walk around in these things and it feels like you're just wearing an extra layer of skin. Soft, flexible waistband, 3 times softer than cotton. It's true. It sounds dumb, but it's really true. These are like incredibly soft underwear, natural, sustainably sourced fiber, because so you don't just feel good wearing them, but you feel good about wearing them. Look, MeUndies made underwear the perfect gift for the holidays. For just someone that you love, that everyone is going to love you for. It's goddamn holiday miracle.
Holiday miracle.
That's right. Do we have to bleep it out if MeUndies has to say it?
Goddamn holiday miracle.
This year, Joey, don't give underwear. Give MeUndies this holiday season to get your exclusive 20% off the softest, most supple underwear and socks that you will ever wear.
Supple. It's a supple.
Free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's right. They will let you send back your dirty underwear if you don't like it, but you won't do it because you will love it. Yeah. Go to MeUndies.com/NBA. That's MeUndies.com/NBA. Joey.
You know what that read for MeUndies? You know what that was? You know what that was?
What?
It was a goddamn holiday miracle.
It was a goddamn holiday miracle. It was a $1 million duck.
It was
all of the weird things that we toss out in this podcast rolled into one beautiful supple underwear bundle.
It was a supple goddamn supple holiday miracle.
Joey, you got some quick shots for us to
quick
end
shots.
The podcast.
Quick
NBA quick shots.
Quick shots. Yeah. I was thinking about calling this the shitty team quick shots because we are just going to talk about some bad NBA basketball. But
I am all for it, bro. And by the way, I think you've sworn more times on this podcast than I have. So,
well, it's because I keep saying goddamn holiday miracle.
You do.
Yeah. Well, but hey, you got to give the people what they want.
And so, they want bad team quick shots.
Yep. All right. OKC, Paul George returned to OKC or to Indy last night. OKC won by 5. Paul George, as has been the case most of this year, with these big three, they did not look very good. Paul George had 12 points, 3 of 14 shooting. The big three combined for just 32 points. Steven Adams, though, continues to look like a beast.
What the hell? Like, this is my quick shot. What the hell? How is it possible that you have a big three and Steven Adams is the most exciting player on your team? He led them in, I think, 23 points last night. The big three shot, I believe it was like 10 of 45, which is also known as really bad. The Thunder, who would have thought that they would add Paul George and add Carmelo Anthony and go from 16th in the NBA in offensive efficiency to 23rd? This quick shot is not very quick, but here's my take. What this team needs is a reliable outside scorer. They need like someone like, I don't know, Doug McDermott or someone like, I don't know, like Victor Oladipo. Joey, where do you think they could get those players?
Do they have a DeLorean? Do they have a DeLorean?
Yes, exactly. Time machine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm with you. You knew my take on this team before the season started.
Oh, and my take, by the way, was so off. I was so excited about this team.
I'm dumb. But I've always really liked Paul George. Working with Bill has brought me down on him a little bit because Bill constantly talks about how he's never hit a game winner in his life, which is true. But I still think Paul George is a super talented player. Melo's over the hill a little bit, but I've never liked Russell Westbrook. I always thought last year was a fluke. I always thought people don't talk enough about the fact that not that Kevin Durant went to Golden State and joined up with a super team, but that he left Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
There's a sign there when Kevin Durant leaves after going to the Western Conference Finals and almost beating the Warriors. Like something wasn't right.
Alternate universe, what Bill Ryder likes to call the Mandela effect. What if they traded Westbrook instead of Harden? We'd be talking about the Harden and Durant-led OKC.
Yeah, and we're not even getting into Harden today because I think that'll be for next. Rockets.
That is
for
not
the next,
called a quick shot. Yeah. Or is this called a quick shot? Number two on the quick shots, Joey.
Yeah. The Clippers have won three in a row. They are a game and a half out of the eighth seed in the West, and it's because of Lou Williams.
What?
Lou Williams he's doing everything he can right now to save Doc Rivers' job. Because Doc, as we know, probably shouldn't be coaching that team anymore. Although they've had injury problems. We'll give him a little bit of credit. But they don't look good. Lou Will is averaging 27 a game over this three-game win streak. He's averaging 20 a game on the season. I mean, he's probably got to be the overwhelming favorite at this point for sixth man of the year. And interestingly enough, you had the conversation with Jamal Crawford about, like, just being known as a sixth man. Lou Will's got to be, like, right after him in that conversation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's in a – there's a rap song, Six Man – like, there's a line – I don't remember what song it is where they say six man like Lou Will. Like,
awesome.
He is the sixth man of the year, right?
I mean, Eric Gordon.
20 a game off the bench.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, he is. Yes. Yes, he is. Playing for a bad team, though. Like, look, Lou Williams is trying to save Doc Rivers' job. I don't think Doc Rivers' job is going to be saved. It feels like things have turned with this team. It's hard to say all this because, like, Patrick Beverley, awesome player, out for the year. Blake Griffin, awesome player, out until about the trade deadline, right? I think, and when we're talking about the not great teams of the NBA, I think this is going to be one of the most interesting teams to follow as far as the drama, because there's always drama around Blake and DeAndre. Mm-hmm. And as far as what moves are they going to make? Do they trade away one of their stars, namely DeAndre Jordan? I also think that the fact that Milos Teodosic is back, he was awesome right to begin the season. Like, I was like, oh, this is a fun player to watch. I think him coming back is going to be big for them. But, they're a bizarre team, right?
Yeah, they've won three in a row, which I actually love. And I think Doc – I agree with you. I think Doc's going to lose his job. But I love that they're winning without Blake Griffin. I think he's – you know, I've never been a – huge fan of him. I've always really liked DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
And I think it's just interesting to see that they're playing better right now. And again, we tend to, with awards specifically, a lot of times we tend to look at the guys that are on, you know, making the playoffs is sort of the litmus test for a good team.
Yep.
Even though this year in the NBA, there's probably going to be a bunch of bad teams that make the playoffs. So if they make, like last year, OKC was a bad team, but they were in the playoffs and Russ averaged a triple-double, so he got MVP.
Yep.
If this team sneaks in with the 8 seed, people are going to say, "Oh, they're a good team. They're a playoff team." And then 20 a game lock for
Joey,
for 6 minutes.
Joey, so the Clippers, they've won 3 in a row. Next quick shot, there's a team out there that's won 4 in a row. Tell me about this bad team that's won 4 games in a row.
Have you heard of the Chicago Bulls?
Yes!
Have you heard of the Chicago Bulls?
They're not going to get Marvin Bagley because of this win streak. What are you guys thinking?
And I think this is a bad joke, but I want to say it anyways. It seems like Nikola Mirotic had some basketball skill knocked into him. he's averaging 19 a game and 6 rebounds, shooting 52% from 3 since he came back, and they're on this 4-game win streak since he came back. And also,
that's even better than Jason Tatum. Not
yeah.
Bad.
And interesting. And we talked about this the other day. Chris Dunn last night, 13 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. He looks good this year. They're a bad team, but he's getting opportunity like you talked about. Their wins, Utah, Boston, Knicks, Hornets are awful, but Utah, Boston, and New York are 3 really good wins.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not see that coming, man. This is, I think it's ultimately a mistake for the franchise. You don't want to win. Like, this team's going nowhere right now. You just want to develop talent, but make sure that you still have, you know, the worst record in the NBA. Because, again, those top 5 picks, perhaps top 6 picks in this draft, I'm throwing Colin Sexton from Alabama in that, you know, pretty clear top 5. I'm going to throw Colin Sexton in as another possible franchise changer. That's what the Bulls want from this year. They need to tank. And they're not tanking, which good for them, by the way. Good for Fred Hoiberg. He's had a rocky go of it since he left Iowa State for the Bulls. He's a good man and I think a good coach. He's had a really tough job with that locker room and, frankly, with the culture change that he was sort of forced into implementing. But I think one of the bigger points here is that trade, the Jimmy Butler trade. Look, Jimmy Butler's always great, but he has not been – quite the Jimmy Butler this year for the Timberwolves that we had seen at his best with the Bulls. This trade doesn't look as bad as we thought it was. Chris Dunn has been really, really good. I've always liked him as a player. He was a disaster for the Timberwolves last year. Zach LaVine getting closer and closer to being back. He is an exciting player who doesn't play defense. Like, he still is a big-time talent who I think can be turned into something. There was a third part to that trade. There was a draft pick there, right?
Yeah.
It was the draft pick flip. They got Markkanen in that trade, too.
Yep.
That trade's looking a lot better than anyone thought it would.
Yeah, LaVine's super talented. Yeah. I mean, he averaged 20-something a game, I think, before he tore his ACL. I mean, they had 3 guys averaging 20 a game last year before he tore his ACL. I mean, yeah, he's good. All right, this next one, so I put this before I actually looked at who they have lost to on this 7-game losing streak.
Okay.
So I'll name these teams, and then we'll you still got to win. You can't lose 7 in a row. Pistons have lost 7 in a row.
That's not good.
They are barely a playoff team right now. A couple weeks ago, I think on this very podcast, we were talking about, are these guys really one of the best teams? I mean, they were 2nd in the East.
That's insane.
They were playing great basketball. I put hot seat alert. I don't know if Stan is actually on. Well, he might be if they don't make the playoffs this year. There's been issues there in the past if they fall off like this. But listen to this stretch. I mean, if I was Stan, what I'd be doing is hitting up the league office like, how does this happen at any point in the season? Wizards, Sixers, Spurs, Bucks, Warriors, Celtics, Nuggets.
That's a hard stretch. That's a hard stretch.
I mean, you got to win one. You got to win one, but that's a tough stretch.
Yeah, that's true. Here's what I would say about the Pistons. To go back to Denny Green, they are who we thought they were. They're a fringe playoff team. Tobias Harris has been amazing.
Yep.
But is he really an, you know, all-star level player? I don't think so. This team is just a whole bunch of fine. They are the definition of NBA mediocrity. And that's honestly, it's the worst place you can be in the NBA. You want to be at the top or you want to be at the bottom. You don't want to be in the middle.
I agree. Avery Bradley hasn't been, I was hoping he would be the guy to take them over the top. Cause I'm such a big fan of his. I think he's such a good player, but yeah, they've been disappointing. All right. Two more quick ones. LaMelo Ball, LiAngelo Ball, they're going to play professionally in Lithuania. I have some pretty strong opinions on this one, but I won't get into it. I'll let you take this for good.
They're moving to a city of 10,000 people in southern Lithuania to play before a crowd in a stadium that has 1,700 seats. What in the hell is LaVar Ball thinking? This has gone from fun but harmless blather in the media where he just likes to spout off and stuff that I enjoy and I find honestly kind of refreshing to, oh my God, he is perhaps ruining these kids' basketball careers and maybe even their lives. Like, I hope I'm wrong. I hope LiAngelo Ball, I hope LaMelo Ball is going to be a first round pick and is going to be an NBA player in a few years. I hope that LiAngelo Ball is, I'm getting my balls mixed up. That's a weird sentence.
Yeah.
I hope Jello is going to be like the vice president of sales for Big Baller Brand because he's not going to be an NBA player. I'm afraid that I'm very, very wrong. What happened here is these guys now no longer will play basketball in college or go to college, I would assume. And they're putting so much pressure, first of all, on Lonzo's shoulders because he's the one who's already made it. And second of all, on 16-year-old LaMelo's shoulders. Joey, give me your quick thought on this. Is this as idiotic as it seems on the surface?
Yeah, absolutely. And two things. One, I was watching, I saw a clip the other day with Woj talking about this, and he said that he spoke to a player, forgot who it was, former college player who's played for this coach that they're going to play for, who said that this coach does not care who these guys are. This coach is going to get after these players. This coach is not going to play these guys. He is going to, I mean, he's going to go in on them, and it's going to be tough to play for. But here's the other thing that I really quickly... We talk about how players go at Lonzo because of LaVar.
Yep.
And how they are giving them the best shot. We saw with Patrick Beverley game one taking a shot at him, and we knew it was because his dad talked all the crap and whatever. When they go overseas, players, they may not know necessarily who LaVar – some of them will know LaVar, some of them won't. But there's going to be a lot of press. There's going to be a lot of publicity. There's going to be a lot of attention on these two guys. And it's not just going to be the players on the other teams going at them. It's going to be the players on their own team.
Yeah.
These guys that they're playing with are playing for their lives. They're going to take offense to these two kids, particularly a 16-year-old kid getting a spot on a team that they have worked their asses off to play for. And it's the pride of – it's different when you play professionally in Europe. There's pride of your city and country.
Yep.
With these club teams. It's not like playing for an NBA team.
You want my prediction here, Joey? They go out there beginning of January. They last 1 month. I read some rumor somewhere that they had like a opt-out of their contracts at the end of January. This is all a publicity stunt. Yep. This is LaVar Ball being LaVar Ball. And they're back in Los Angeles by February. And it makes really good TV for their Facebook show.
Yeah, I think they're like plus 225 on Bovada to make it to the end of January.
There you go.
Or that they won't be there at the end of January. The odds are actually better that they'll make it past January, which I think is insane. I don't think they make it past January. All right, we'll end it with a positive one. You referenced it before. Gordon Hayward out of the walking boot. I mean, it's great to see, right?
Hallelujah. Gordon Hayward has risen. This is awesome. This is going to be like one of the best if he can play this year, and there's going to be an abundance of caution, as there should be when you invest $128 million in a guy. But look, if this team is a contender, which they will be in March and April, and he passes every single test, he's going to be one of the best late season acquisitions in NBA history to be able to add a guy like that, a versatile player like that, to a team that is already one of the best in the NBA. that has learned to play without him is maybe, I should say, maybe absolutely huge. Joe, you think he's going to play at all this year?
I don't think so. And I don't think that they're as good as they've been. I think they, in some weird way, I think Brad Stevens probably realizes that even if he plays, they're probably not winning a title this year. As a team, no one wants to admit it, right? But the Warriors are probably winning the title this year. And so I don't think you want to take a chance when he comes back fully healthy next year, how good this team can be in the future. There's nothing but upside for this team. So no, I would think they would hold him out, but it'd be an amazing story if he did.
Well, Joey, my Christmas wish this December is for come May, Gordon Hayward pulls a Kyle Schwarber who tore his ACL in April for the Chicago Cubs and then came back for the World Series and hit the hell out of the ball as a designated hitter. Please let that happen to us, NBA gods, for Gordon Hayward to come back for the Eastern Conference Finals and be that missing piece that can push the Cavs. Maybe not all the way, but at least give us like a great hotly contested Eastern Conference Finals between the Cavs and the Celtics. And who knows? Maybe Gordon Hayward hits the game-winning three in Game 7 to send the Celtics to the finals. Guys, thanks for joining us with the Flagrant 2 podcast. Remember to please subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, on something else, SoundCloud, sorry. Rate us, download us, review us, tell us we're great. We appreciate every single nice thing you say about us. Bill Ryder will be back tomorrow. We're going to have two podcasts in 2 days. It's going to be exciting. Producer Joey, good hanging out with you. Yeah. And guys, thanks for joining us.